Translation. Kratu's wife Kriya gave birth to 60,000 great sages named the Valakilyas. All these sages were greatly advanced in spiritual knowledge, and their bodies were illuminated by such knowledge. Purport. Kriya was the sixth daughter of Kadama Muni, and she produced 60,000 sages who were known as the Valakilyas because they all retired from family life as Vanaprastas. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. There is a very interesting way that sages are described in this verse. It is said that they were very brilliant, jvalataha, because they were illumined from within by the Brahman effulgence. This is a very good description of a sadhu, a description which helps us to understand why sadhu sangha is so much stressed in our scriptures. It also helps us to understand the shloka, which says that even the 11th part of a second of association with devotees can bring great devotional merits. In the 11th part of a second, no verbal communication can take place of any greater significance. Maybe a short Jai Radhe or Hari Bol, that is the 11th part of a second. But something else takes place, which we can understand by this term Jvalato. Jvalato means illumined. Yes, very brilliant. Jvalata, Brahma Techasa. These saints are brilliant by the dint of the Brahman effulgence. In other words, their blessings don't come necessarily by word speed, but by light speed, by spiritual tejas, the spiritual effulgence. As we all know, light travels much faster than words can travel. To help us understand this little difficult and maybe esoteric point, I would request you to listen patiently to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation of this light-speed blessing in the Harinam Chintamani fourth chapter, text number 52 and 54. In this chapter, the first offense to the holy name is described, which is blaspheming devotees. And it is said why it is so much on the first place. It says, someone who does so, bhakti labhi bhare ara nahi ka upaya, bhakti labhe sarva jiva vaishnava kripaya. Such a person loses all chance of attaining devotion to Krishna, for it is through the blessings of the Vaishnava that one gets bhakti. Yeah? So it is through blessings. And these blessings, now we will hear how they travel with light speed, not with word speed. Vaishnava dehe tetake sri krishnera shakti se deha spashe anya haye krishna bhakti. Krishna's potencies take up residence in the Vaishnava's body, so that by merely touching him, one develops devotion to Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains what this means. He says, devotion is the combined essence of two Shaktis of Krishna. What are the two Shaktis? Yes. Yes. Yeah. So devotion is the combined essence of the Lord's pleasure potency and the knowledge potency. If you blend these pleasure potency, Hladini Shakti and knowledge, you get devotion. Such devotion is transmitted when a perfected devotee invests a seeker with the spirit of devotion. We need an investment of devotion in our heart by a great saint, and then our small business can flourish. Our insignificant business can flourish by this capital investment of the great soul. We hear an example of this in the Mathura Brahmana, who had heard from Swarup, he could still not totally understand. Then Swarup decided to give his powerful blessings into this person, and when he had made this decision, then both of them exploded with Krishna Shakti. Swarup was already like a volcano. And that, by his blessing, his volcanic blessings came to this person. And by this blessing, then the Mathura Brahmana started to chant the holy names of the Lord. Full of devotions, he ran into the forest of Vrindavan and then obtained the darshan of Krishna when he brought the cows to the river. So this capital investment is necessary. When that practitioner himself attains the perfection of devotion, he goes on to further invest some other seeker with that spirit. This is what preaching means. When you have heard and become enlivened by the power of that blessing, then you invest also in others. Devotion is a particular function of the transcendental nature. It uses the soul as a vehicle to reside and move about in this world. No? So devotion is a passenger, in this world. It travels not on a three-wheeler, but it travels on a soul, the soul of a great soul, a great soul. It travels with him. And so it uses this soul as a vehicle to reside and move about in this world. Devotion has no other residence, in other words. Bhakti has no other residence than in the heart of a devotee. When a particular individual soul puts aside his resistance to devotion, then he becomes a potential carrier. And it is possible for devotion to be transferred into him. The way this operates is a divine mystery. In other words, Bhaktivinoda Thakur closes his discussion on this, because this is already enough for us to understand. Bhakti in this world resides and moves about in the soul of a great soul, and then he invests, this devotee can invest and in this way transfer it. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we find a shloka of which was spoken by an ignorant man who was engaged in household duties, but the next day he found himself full of devotion. So he wonders, what happened to me? I can imagine if we would see Yajna Purusha Prabhu running around in the palace, in the ancient Govardhan palace, the Bhaktivedanta ashram, and chants, Jai Shri Hari, Jai Shri Hari, Jai Giridhari Gopinath, Madana Mohan. We would say, what happened to you? What happened? So this person is in the same situation. He all of a sudden finds himself full of devotion, and he asks himself, what happened to me? What is the cause? How did I pick up this devotion? And he must have gone through a few possibilities, but then he arrives at one. It must be that yesterday there was this sadhu passing by my door, and he was chanting, Jai Shri Hari, Jai Giridhari. He was chanting like we sometimes hear when we are here in Govardhan. We hear these souls who are certainly moved by devotion, and they chant without thinking of others. You know, they go with their carters. Mostly they go in the night. Hare Krishna. They very much moved with this. So he thinks, I must have this. I saw this person coming by my door, and he somehow is the cause of this. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur will describe how this mercy of the devotee, this devotional energy, is transferred. Do you have any idea how the mercy of the Vaishnava is transferred? By the way, we do not discuss about the way which we usually are informed in our lectures, that is by the words or by the vani of the devotee. We do not, we talk now very much on Vapu. But don't forget, of course, all the 100 lectures on Vani which you have heard by now. They need to be kept in mind also. But how by Vapu, by contact, that energy is transferred?
Touch can be.
Touch. that we found in Svarup's case? By glance?
By the smile.
If Keshava Bharati Maharaj is smiling at us, yeah. Here, some examples of Vaishnava infections are brought. The remnants of the Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna, may you live a happy life in devotional service. Bhakti Gaurav Narayan Maharaj. The remnants of the Vaishnava's food, the water that has washed his feet, the dust from his lotus feet, these are three powerful spiritual potencies. And now, if one should sit near a Vaishnava for a few moments, he will feel the spiritual power exuding from his body. That spiritual potency then flows into a faithful person's heart, causing devotion to well up in him and his body to tremble. This is how he just by sitting next to him, because he gets that jvala to tejas, this effulgent energy. So anyone who sits down near a devotee with an attitude of faith will certainly experience the awakening of devotion in his heart. Hare Krishna. These are some of the mysteries. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's a mystery of the blessings which travel. Now those of us who are not so interested in mysteries, but something more concrete, there is also something very, very concrete about the blessings of a Vaishnava, which is described that is the blessings when we sit with the Vaishnava and ask for his kindness and blessing after we have satisfied him with our service. Now, this is maybe more the this is a very nice understanding. It is said that when Dhruva Maharaj, who is very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had his final hour, that is, the associates of the devotee of the Lord, the Vishnu Dutas came to bring him in the Vimana back home, back to Godhead. He did not just step into the Vimana and went with them. Dhruva Maharaj first went and obtained the blessings of the devotees. Prabhupada said, when Dhruva Maharaj was leaving his body, he was living at Bararikashrama, where there were other great sages. He did not become puffed up that, oh, now Vishnu has personally sent this Viman. Let me go into this. I'm apparently a great soul. No, as a humble Vaishnav, he accepted the blessings from all the sages before he stepped on the plane which took him to the Vaikuntha world. And Prabhupada now comments on this. We should mark how dutiful Dhruva Maharaj was in his devotional service, even at the time he left this material world. He was constantly alert in the performance of devotional duties. Now Srila Prabhupada talks about something which I would like to dedicate to the wonderful servants of this Bhaktivedanta ashram. I'm very grateful for having spent such quality time here under your protection and under your care, actually. And I have noted with great happiness how you are very vigilant in your own devotional duties and keep this a very nice atmosphere by the observing what we call in our movement the morning and the evening program. These are devotional duties. Prabhupada, he speaks about the devotee, constant practice. Every devotee should take care, should take his bath early in the morning and decorate his body with tilak. In Kali Yuga, one can hardly acquire gold or jeweled ornaments, but the 12 tilak marks on the body are sufficient as auspicious decorations to purify the body. Since Dhruva Maharaj was living at that time at Badarikashrama, there were, yes, See, by doing devotional duties, you will create a certain spiritual atmosphere. A little while ago, I had to visit the doctor, and these doctors are, I went to a person who healed through energy, and it was in the evening, and all my tilak was already gone, because I had done profuse sweating. I had been, and I had no opportunity afterwards to renew the tilak. And he went to check me with one of the things. And whenever he came to a tilak mark, a spot where I had put the tilak mark, the machine went, then he went here. Then he went here. Sounded like a jackal. It went like all the 12 tilak spots. Because what do you do? He said, what? I eat and I sleep like every one of us. He said, no, what do you do for special energy? Why? Now, when I touch these spots, my machine gives this signal that something is very... I apply tilak. What is that? And then I explained to him that we put the sacred clay there and we chant sacred mantras, and then this place has become empowered. I can feel it. I can feel it. No, I said, you can't feel it. Your machine cannot register spiritual energy. Afterwards, it would have kept howling from all my chanting. You know, it would go also in other places because we chant so much and eat spiritual food. No, but here I could. Well, it must have been the earth then, from Gopi Chandan. There was some type of registration that I don't believe that it's only, but the spiritual energy sometimes moves also the material energy and puts it into a different energetic state than normally. So my dear devotees, when you do every day at a certain place spiritual practices, this will create a very powerful spiritual energy which cannot even be erased by time. That is my point. It will create a spiritual energy which may not be also be, it may not be possible to measure it with a material device, but it is certainly measurable by the soul. An example of this we can find in the Nrisimha Purana, where Prahlad Maharaj comes into an ancient temple. You must know that in the personality of Prahlad, there is the Nitya Siddha, the eternal living being, and then there is a conditioned aspect called Vasudev from a previous life, and they are together. And the Prahlad which we know is certainly not a conditioned soul, because that conditioned aspect has been totally transformed by the power of his devotion. But that Vasudev Brahmana from a previous life was a conditioned soul who had very conditioned activities and who met up, you could say, so subtle mind of that Brahmana met up with Prahlad and then was released and totally purified. And the reason why this happened is told in the Nrisimha Purana. In the Nrisimha Purana, we find that this Vasudev Brahmana was married, but he was not satisfied with the amount of sense gratification his marriage gave him, and therefore had an unholy relationship with a prostitute. Once he decided to take his prostitute out for a picnic in the forest, but when they sat down to dine, they began to quarrel so hard that both of them lost momentarily interest in their association. You know, when you quarrel so much with someone, then you just want to get away from him. Vasudev went in one direction and the prostitute in the other, and they got lost in the forest. It became very dark and a rainstorm came. So Vasudev ran to find shelter from this rainstorm and finally arrived in a mandir, in a broken down place. And there, for the whole night, he chanted with great exasperation, Jai Sri Hari, Jai Sri Hari, Jai Sri Hari. He was so, he had broken up with his girlfriend, and rainstorm was there. It was a great misery for him. Jai Sri Hari, Jai Sri Hari. Out of this misery, he chanted this. And then at the morning hour, he heard from another corner of that broken down building also some weeping and crying, some chanting. There was some other person. Vasudev went to search for this other person, and he found in one corner of the English word is the dilapidated building. He found this prostitute. She had also chanted the whole night there. And they made up, they became friendly to each other. And this is the reason. That's where we leave Vasudev. In his next life, he became Prahlad. That conditioned part joined Sri Prahlad. That is more clear. And why? Because the day when he had not taken the picnic was Nrisimha Chaturdasi. And the dilapidated or broken down building was a temple of Nrisimhadev. Jai Nrisimha. And by the influence of that day and the influence of this building in which the Lord had been worshipped for so long, this great blessing came to him that he became Prahlad. So if you, from this I want to bring you to the understanding, if you do at a certain place every day for many years a worship, then a certain atmosphere will be created which will bless all those who come into this place. By doing, in other words, your regular morning and evening duties, you create a bubble of spiritual energy, if you so wish. And by this powerful influence, there will be a great, great spiritual benefit which can be felt. You could see your morning program and your evening program, or your morning spiritual duties and evening spiritual duties, you can see them, if you want, as bricks, which you, golden bricks, bricks from gold, Asit Krishna Prabhuji, which you pile and make a palace of bhakti. It's very, 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 very nice. A palace in which bhakti can live. Now the problem, of course, is when we do morning and evening duties regularly, that we do them mechanically. Do you know of this problem? That our mind switches off. This is also the problem when you chant Hare Krishna. The mind will say, oh, I know, I know, I know, I know. Everything which you repeat for a few times, the mind will say, I know. Therefore, we always not like to hear some new information. We always like to hear some new things, because then only our vata mind can find some interest in it. So this is also when we do the morning program and the evening program, we can develop a bored feeling with it. Hello. They're very punctual. Every morning I know this hello. Why not Hari Bol? We should go over. So this mechanical chanting is not something which necessarily attracts Krishna. Prabhupada once spoke about this. Someone asked him, Prabhupada, we chant so mechanically our rounds. And at one time he used to say, at least you are chanting. At least you are chanting. In other words, he attributed some value to this dutiful spiritual activities. It is not totally valueless. But obviously we want that our heart is overwhelmed with bhakti. And this bhakti is necessary, really, to attract more bhakti. I wanted to read something. Let me see if I can find it for you. Thank you. So, yes. Once, Bhakti Devi went to the Supreme Lord Krishna and asked him, "My dear Lord, what should be my duty?" And Krishna gave Bhakti Devi an order. Mat bhaktan poshayeti cha. You, Bhakti Devi, should maintain my devotees. Because Krishna saw how absolutely surrendered Bhakti Devi was, he gave Bhakti Devi two sons, Jnana and Vairagya, and a servant called Mukti. This is from the Puranas. Bhakti Devi had the sacred duty to maintain the devotee in his or her spiritual life. And this Bhakti Devi resides in the heart of the devotees and is transferred by the blessings of the devotees into the heart of another devotee. Or an interested soul. The devotees have this potency to give bhakti to the other devotees. Therefore, in this Bhakti Vedanta Ashram, it is very nice if we, as the inmates, keep the spirit of creating a spiritual atmosphere through our spiritual practices and inviting devotee preachers and then obtaining their blessings. These devotee preachers, they are preaching in the West and everywhere. Also in India we have devotee preachers, and our two of them are here, our Keshava Bharati Maharaj and Bhakti Gaurav Narayan Maharaj, very powerful preachers. So what we should be very happy in this ashram to supply a possibility where we can serve them in their needs to chant and to go deeper in their spiritual life, so that they can give us the powerful blessings, and then bhakti comes in our heart and starts to nourish us. The devotee needs food. We need bhakti food. Bhakti is nourishing our sometimes dryness of the heart, so that we are able to progress very swiftly in our spiritual life. Also Narada Muni wants to nourish the conditioned souls, and he says to Bhakti Devi, "Hear my vow, Bhakti Devi. If I do not preach your message, subdue all other religions and make devotional festivals predominant, then I shall not be considered the servant of Lord Hari." See the determination of a devotee. He wants to preach the message, and he wants to show how bhakti is supreme, and he wants to make devotional festivals predominant. Only then he considers his life worthwhile. These are the few points which I wanted to share with you. I hope you were inspired in Krishna consciousness. and I'm a little bit bewildered now by the sound vibration of the South Indian Brahmanas. They are usually worshippers of the forearm form, but here in Braj, the gopis sing a song. We do not recognize a god who has more than two arms and who cannot play the flute. We do not recognize such a god. This is how the gopis sing. We only recognize the one who is dressed in flower garlands, forest garlands, who is a forest boy. We only recognize him. They sing like this before Lord Narayan. But this what you don't want to pick up a quarrel with our Sujatas. Sujanas means good Brahmanas who are there. Yeah? So, do you have any questions?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes.
So, Prabhupada's personality, there are two aspects.
The question is, you mentioned that in Prahlad there are these two, the eternally perfected soul and the Vasudev, the Brahmana. Now, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we often find these double personalities, sometimes triple personalities. And the Gaura Ganodisha Deepika is like a who is who, and there you can find a lot. I must admit to you that this always was a great question, and I would like to see if maybe our Keshava Bharati Maharaj has an insight into this, or our other. And if you have, I would like to give you the microphone so that it's recorded. Yeah?
Why are you putting me on the spot here? The eternal associates of the Lord have the same potency as the Lord to expand themselves in more than one place at the same time. And not only that, they can exist in the same form of more than one person. The example is given that Krishna, he has, when he appears, all of the other incarnations appear within him. So this is inconceivable. You can't understand this by logic and reasoning, and if you try to understand it by logic and reasoning, you will simply be confused, because it is beyond mundane logic and reasoning. But there's also commentaries about this particular personality, Prahlad Maharaj, and that Vasudev Brahman, that state that it was another Prahlad, not the same Prahlad, that we have in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that is one of the Mahajans. Because the personalities who can do that are both liberated. When we hear in Gauranga's Deepika of different personalities coming together, such as Brahma and Prahlad in the personality of Haridas Thakur, or these kinds of personalities, Sandipani Muni and Akrura and Keshav Bharati, these are liberated souls from Krishna's pastimes who can come together and do that. Conditioned souls can't do that. A conditioned soul can't do that. So, therefore, the acharyas have adjusted this. The Prahlad that is discussed in that Nrisimha Purana in some acharyas' commentaries is another Prahlad than the ever-liberated Prahlad. And that accounts for the mixture of those two persons. Hare Krishna.
So then, kind of, you're back to the square one, because you said liberated great personalities can do that. As you know, you said these two they're not liberated souls.
No, but they don't do it in the same way.
Uh-huh.
They don't do it in the same way. It means that there's a conditioned part in all of us. That as we go through our devotional lives, our spiritual bodies are, you know, manifested gradually. And until our spiritual bodies are fully manifested, there's a material aspect. You know, so when we're Krishna conscious, we, you know, are, you know, taking shelter of the spiritual energy, but before we're fully Krishna conscious, at times we take care of the material, we take shelter of the material energy. So in that way, there's a mixture, you know, of material and spiritual in the same person. So in the same way, it's possible in this case, for, you know, a spiritual personality to have this material aspect still present until the full liberation takes place. That is I just read this actually in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary of 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, in relationship to the gopis who were prevented by their husbands or fathers to go to see Krishna. There's different explanations for this. But one of the explanations is the reason that they couldn't was because they were still not completely qualified, and there was a material aspect still remaining in their personality. And when they went inside and meditated on Krishna, and they became completely relieved from that contamination or that conditioning, and attained Krishna's darshan and Krishna's pure devotional service.
That makes complete sense.
I hope so. It's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
In the same personality, there are can be different aspects and layers of purity and impurity. But again, the story would seem to refer to two personalities, two souls that merge. Or am I getting this wrong?
Well, he mentioned that, and there are personalities who have said that, but there are commentaries that don't accept that.
So it was from the same person?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was the same person who came and then became pure in his next life and brought that level of contamination into that incarnation.
Okay.
That's how the acharyas explain it. Am I saying anything wrong?
No.
Thank you very much for this wonderful explanation. Yes, there are different versions to understand. The version which I have presented, I heard from I heard from Gaur Govinda Maharaj, who has quoted Shastra, but there are different understanding, and this should not confuse us. It can show us that there are inconceivable subjects in Krishna consciousness. For me personally, I think without the presence of inconceivable things, it wouldn't be spiritual. it is just beyond us. We just can't think it with this mind. But I'm very happy with your...
And it also says that different acharyas will give different... have realizations on the same. That's not out of the realm of possibility. Because different people with different relationships with Krishna will see the same thing differently than the world.
Yes.
So this doesn't mean that they're both, one is false and the other is true.
Krishna. So, is there another question? Yes, Guru Hari.
Maybe I missed the point you were speaking about, this danger of having mechanical, of becoming mechanical when we do the same thing for a long time.
There is some value, yes, yes.
My question is, what is the practical way to go out?
Yes. You mentioned that Prabhupada attributed some value even to mechanical practices of spiritual life. It is the particular value is you keep your vow. That is something which is very potent, to keep a vow. Now the question here is how to come out of that mechanical practice. Well, you must attract Bhakti Devi in some ways, and Bhakti Devi, as we heard, resides very, very much in the hearts of the bhaktas. A very important way to evoke Bhakti Devi is to pray in the words of these great souls. And I would like to offer you a help from Haridas Thakur. There is a prayer Haridas Thakur chanted to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which immediately, as you enter the mystery of this prayer, will invoke bhakti. O Lord, he says, be merciful and appear on my tongue in your holy name. Dance there constantly. O Lord, I fall at your lotus feet and beg you. You may keep me in this world or take me to your abode as you please. But whatever you do with me, feed me the divine nectar of your names. You have descended into this world to distribute the holy name. So kindly also consider me one of those you intend to bless. I am the most lonely, whereas you are committed to the upliftment of the lowest. This is our eternal relationship, O Savior of the fallen. On the strength of this unbreakable connection between us, I am the most lowest and you are the most merciful. O Lord, I beg you to shower me with the nectar of the holy name. Wonderful, isn't it? This is how you can get some bhakti, by singing the songs of the great souls that is mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur at another time. You can get bhakti also when you do your naam chanting, if you take up karatals and just chant Hare Krishna Kirtan very loud. You should chant. Your mind, which is now dull, needs to be empowered by the holy name. This is when you hear in Vrindavan, they all know, you all know when you
see those who chant many rounds. You hear after some time that they pick up their cards, and then it gets very loud in there, in the places where they do their bhajans. Because kirtan is clear. Kirtan forcibly catches the mind and brings it. There's a shloka from, there is a commentary by Sanatana Goswami who says, if I just Shravan, if I hear your name, that is like a thin thread which binds you, O Krishna. But then, because you are so independent, you break that bondage. It go away. Now, if I just, then I apply the meditation. If I do smaran of you, that is like a rope. But you also break that rope. Then I apply the kirtan. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Yeah, but not, no, not like that. Because you were chanting without your mind. You were just out of Pavlov, without your mind, out of habit you were chanting. But if you chant with the mind, you know, you combine the two, Shravan, hearing the sound vibration, and Smaram, meditating. Not the chanting where we don't, but your mind, you know, where your mind is really there. Then, Krishna, then it is like an iron chain by which you are bound. So, when you're getting mechanical, Gaurahari, close the windows and the doors, go under the mattress with your head, and then chant really loud, and then it will come. Hare Krishna. This may be too intense for some of you. Do you know that the Lord of this age is known as the Lord of Sankirtan, not the Lord of Japa? Yes. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord of Kirtan, not the Lord of Japa. For those of Nishtha and Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Sankirtano Pitaro Karunavatan. They believe in kirtan very strongly. Someone who wants to chant will go through all the three. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, just very softly. Sometimes he will do Nam Smaranam, and then he will also do Kirtan. And all these three will at different times be very conducive. Hare Krishna. So we have a time is also there, and we want to do something about prasadam, isn't it, Asi Krishna Prabhu? We want to do. We have a great desire. I also will join you with this desire. We must now end. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.